Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, take over this service, give us the guidance that we need, and bring to us, Father, what each one of us needs in order to do the work you have laid out for us to do, to give us a greater understanding, the truth, Father, of your word. And we ask in this, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to begin here in the 10th chapter of Mark, verse 1. We've been going through Mark here now. We've been through parables and all again, just as we did in Matthew. But you know, every time we hear them, we can see them just a little deeper and a little stronger. And they're not as easy to forget. All right. Chapter 10, verse 1, Mark. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the further side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wrought, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? See, they really wasn't wanting to know, but they wanted to tempt him because they're still trying everything they can try to see if they can catch him in something to where they can have him destroyed. But he knows all of this beforehand, and he knows that he's not ready yet. But when his time comes, then he'll be ready and he'll go on and do what he came to do. But they don't understand. Like a lot today are not understanding the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 3. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? They're asking about divorce. 4. And they said Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement, put her away. But you see, even that was not always so. Even in back in the Old Testament days. Now, 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. He is to leave all, but to hold on to her. 8. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. You see, when you really make that covenant of marriage, that covenant was not just made between man and woman. It was made between man, woman, and God. That's why a minister does the work. Or a justice of the peace can do it. A lot of people can do it, but they're all leaders. Now, letting them know man, he says, what therefore has joined together, let not man put asunder. Man's not supposed to be breaking any of the commandments of Almighty God. None. And that one's no different. Because you see, when you divorce, you have not only risk hurting one or two, you risk hurting maybe two more. Because if you yourself remarry and your spouse remarries, you've caused both of them to be committing adultery also. You see, it's not all just you. Now, 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Why would he be giving us that kind of trouble? Because he's letting us know and giving us the guidance. That little child puts all of his dependence on his parents to take care of him. for everything he needs. That's the way we have to be in the kingdom of Almighty God. Our every need is to be met by him. We are to have that dependence on him. And through faith, we know that he will take care of us. When you become that born-again child of God, you are as a small child in this world, because we have to have that dependence on him for what we need. Because we are to walk, every one of us are to walk in his word, in his will, and his way. Our life is to be built upon him and his kingdom. And we are serving him every day, every hour, and every moment of that day. We're his. Now, 16. Excuse me. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them, these children. Now, 17. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This one is asking Jesus, "What should I do?" Listen to this answer. 18. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered, this one is kneeling there, talking to him. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loving him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." You see what becoming a follower of Jesus really means? The things of this world really has no meaning for us whatsoever. We are to be looking toward and for his kingdom. And what we can do to be serving him. Not many doing that, though, are they? Not in this day and time. Now he's told him. He's answered his question. Now, he's answering Christ back, and he says, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." And the Lord knew he did, but the Lord also knew that that's what was keeping him away, so he was not able to do anything to serve him. Now, 23. Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, do you really want to be a rich man? And if so, why? Because I want you to list these next few verses. Listen close. 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you still want to be a rich man? And so, you better really have a plan of using it in the right way. You see, there's nothing wrong with money, but it's what we do with it. And that love of money will destroy us. We need just what it takes for you and I to do his work. And he will see that all of that happens. We put our trust in him and stand faithful on his word, reaching out to help others to find them, so they can find the Lord Jesus Christ and make heaven their home. 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible. Uh-oh. So many of them think, oh, I can get out here and do this and that, and I'm saved. Uh-huh. What's his word say? With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. When you are walking as a child of the living God, you have all things possible before you. Think about it. 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brother or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You see, he is to be first in your life, number one, before anything or anyone. But when you are sincere and you spend your time in serving him, he'll see that all these things work out for you. Now, but many that are first shall be last, and the last first. A lot of them that thinks they're first will be last, and a lot of them that thinks they're last will be first. It depends upon your life, how you are living it, how you are walking. Are you really walking in the Word and in the Spirit of Almighty God, or do you have one foot in this world out here? If you've got one foot in this world out here, you ain't gonna make it. You can't straddle a fence. Now, 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went up before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Now he's sharing with them why he's going to Jerusalem, came here for. He's told them in many ways that they didn't understand. But now he's going to share with them greater, which is also sharing with you and I. 33, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit on him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Man, he's not pulling any punches at all, is he? That's why our churches today needs to get into the Word of Almighty God, quit teaching things that are contrary, that sounds good, and will cause a lot of people to come in and join in with you and believe that they've got heaven made their home when they're sitting there just as lost as they can be, because they're living contrary to a lot of the Word of Almighty God. Now, 35. James and John, the son of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. You see, they're asking, do whatever we desire, God, for us. My wants, my wishes, my way. Listen to what he tells them. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? He asked them a question. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may set one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Wasn't asking much, was it? Now, Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Can you do all of that? He's asking you and I the same thing. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. You see, the Father has already got those ready. He knows who it'll be. We don't. And Jesus, if he knew, wasn't saying. And I really don't believe that he knew about that, actually. Now, 41. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Now, is that working among themselves? A little jealousy. 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. In other words, one to take care of you, one to see about you. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. That's a lot different than what they're thinking. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And we know he done exactly that. Now, 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, because he's blind, he's a beggar. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, raise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. It takes that faith to make us whole. We've got to grow to that point. And when we're talking about faith, it means something that we absolutely know. In fact, and stand on, believing with our heart and mind, knowing that it is truth of God. And we'd see a lot of things change in our lives. And a lot of things happen that he would have you and I doing for him. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We've been through 10 now. We'd be getting into 11. 11's got 33 verses. It's quite a bit in it, but let's get started. We're a little early. We've got about 28 minutes. Now, 11, verse 1. When they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. He's telling me exactly what to do about it. How to get that colt. Because that colt wasn't broke. It never had nobody on it. But Jesus is going to ride that colt into Jerusalem. They went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in the place where two ways met, and they loosed it. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. They told them what Jesus told them to say, and they let them go just as he told them they would. 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off of the trees and strode them in the way. Now, you know, we have a Sunday once a year that's called Palm Sunday, and that's where it comes from. Because they get palm branches, you know, to celebrate this day with. And a lot of them send them out and give them to their members and things. That's why they get it. It's to remind us of this. Now, verse 9. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree, far off having leaves, he came that happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now you see, he didn't put this curse on that tree just because there was no figs there. But when the season to where the trees have leaves, they also have figs. And this one didn't. And he done this. He done this for a reason so his disciples could see. Because he is letting them see the power of Almighty God at work. It's working through him. But he's letting them see God's work. Just as his power will work through you and I if we give it the chance and if we are walking with the Lord our God as we are supposed to be. And if we have been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that would be asked of us that we could not do. And the only reason we're not seeing a lot more of it done today is because of little and lack of faith. Now, come up here now, 15, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Look at our churches today and see what they are all doing. Now, maybe not your little local country church, but look at our larger churches. They all are selling stuff. They are all begging for money. But you see what the Lord thinks about this. Because listen to what he's doing. What he says about it. 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. It is there for the purpose of prayer and the study of God's word and our fellowship with each other and with him to guide us into what we need to be doing. You see, that's something else that is way out of proportion today. 18. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and taught how they might destroy him. There again, you see, they're still trying to figure a way to destroy him. For they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And you see, we have all these doctrines out there today. They call themselves denominations. But there is only one. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. His doctrine. Which is this book, this Holy Bible, this word of Almighty God. They're not all different kinds. And he tells us over and over. We'll be getting into some more about this later. But he keeps telling us over and over. We are to come together and believe in him. Because if you are a born-again child of God, his church is in you. That building's not a church. Yes, we call them churches, and they should be kept holy, because where God travels is holy ground. But that wood is not a place where he dwells. He is dwelling in us. His people. Now, 19, and when evening was come, he went out of the city. 20, and in the morning as they passed back, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Overnight, this fig tree, it dried up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, praise God, listen to this. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But you've got to speak it, and you've got to speak it from the heart, and you have got to believe it in faith. And it'll be done. That's what he's telling us there. Now, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Because you see, that born-again child of God is only looking for things of the gospel and for answers in order to grow stronger and better and straighter with the Lord God. So his desires are not for the things out here in this world. He's already left them behind. I don't need a mansion to live in. Just a place to stick my head and have a place to lay me down to rest. I don't need to be out here wearing a $3,000 or $4,000 suit and $300 for a pair of shoes. No. I just need to be clean and covered. And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You can't hold a grudge. You are to walk with a forgiving heart to those that will do wrong things to you, for you, or about you. Pray for them. You love them and pray for them. That's what we are supposed to do. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and saying to him, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? You see, always looking for something they think they can accuse him of that will get him destroyed. 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. I'm going to ask you a question, you answer it for me, and then I'll answer yours. 30. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. 33. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answered and said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. But see, before his ministry is over, he did let every person know unto this day. We're being told. But right then, because he knew the only reason they was asking these things was to find fault in some way that they could have him destroyed. He knew exactly how to answer. We're going to stop here. And the next time, it won't be in the morning. Won't be until next week, God willing. We'll be picking back up here with the 12th chapter. Because in the morning, we are going to be into the book of Romans in the New Testament. We've been through the book of Acts. Now we're in the book of Romans. We've made good headway through it to this point. God is good. God is great. God is almighty. And as long as we continue to seek for knowledge and wisdom and for the things that we need in order to walk according to his will and his way, he will see that we have it. Is it always easy? No. And he tells us that also. He said, they persecuted me, and they will persecute you. So we are warned. He warns us about it. And let me tell you something. I don't care how well or how hard you're persecuted, all the time that persecution is going on, you can still walk in joy. And I can attest to that, and all of you that know me know it, because you've seen some of the things I've had to face, and you've seen that I have still walked with the Lord and with our God in joy, still teaching his word, all the time going through that persecution, and not complaining. Just ask for it to be taken care of. Because I knew that he would do it. I didn't know when. A lot of times when we ask God for something, we think it ought to be done right then. It don't always work that way. In fact, it seldom works that way. Because a lot of times when we ask for things, we're really not ready for it. And if we had it, we wouldn't be using it rightly. We don't know that, but he does. Understand what I'm saying? He does. There's not one thought in your mind he doesn't know about, let alone your heart. And you see, your heart is where he and the Holy Spirit both and the Father all dwell. When you are born again, child of God, inside you, you have got the Godhead living in you and all of his power. That's why he tells you that there's nothing impossible for you. It's how you walk and how strong your faith is and where your belief has been placed. Think about it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we close your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together to share your word, to share fellowship with each other, and to share with each other and with you, that we can continue to learn and understand of your kingdom, of your word, of you, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn more of the Holy Spirit and learn more of our Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening. And as we lay down tonight, Father, let us rest through the night, keeping us in health, keeping us safe and in peace. And let us raise some morning to face another day, to be used in your way and your will, reaching out to help others in all we can. You know our needs. And I know, Father, that you have been working on a plan. And I'm praying, Father, I'm asking, let that plan happen, Father, and happen here shortly. Giving us a place, Father, a better place to work from, place that belongs to you, Father. A place that can be made to serve only you. Now, Father, be with our families. We all have family members that are not saved. I pray for them, Father, the Spirit is working with them, speaking with them, helping to lead them to understand that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, that they cannot stand and make heaven their home alone. Now, Father, be with us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless. Have a good night. God willing, be back with me in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Till then, good night.